What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the podcast, a show dedicated to talking about all the poggers things in life, like music, content creation, and video games. I am one of your co-hosts, Jesse Kazam.
And I am Veritas, and today we are very fortunate to have Mara here.
Yes.
I actually don't know your official title. I've heard co-founder, lead dev, creative director. Are you all of the above, or is there some better title for you?
I don't know. Like, I think I love the creative director. I am CEO because I have to be. I was lead programmer a lot of like the years. Now I am programming also, just because we have like the few people on the beginning. And in the past I was doing everything, you know, when we grow up. So very, very growing up. You know?
Yeah.
So basically, you've been working on Gray Zone Warfare, a game that's basically everybody is excited about. We're all super stoked. Jesse, I don't know. Do you have anything you wanted to start with? Or?
Thank you so much for taking the time with us. Me and Veritas kind of Gray Zone popped on our radar a while back when we saw the first few trailers and have just been kind of following it super closely ever since, you know, coming from, you know, what I've noticed is a lot of people I think Gray Zone is getting a lot of different types of people excited. I've seen people from, you know, like the more survival game community be excited. I've seen people from like extraction shooter games, you know, me and Veritas, you know, played a lot of Tarkov excited. I think, you know, what you
Milsim.
Guys, yeah, Milsim people, I think you guys have kind of blended a lot. So kind of my first question is kind of where did the inspiration for Gray Zone come from? And are you guys kind of intentionally blending a lot of these aspects from a lot of these other games into kind of one experience?
Okay, there is like the two answers for it, you know. Yeah. One is the honest and one is the politically correct, you know, a little bit. So the honestly, when we starting to thinking about the new game and we were looking at the times with the new verse about the market, we did probably the first market research ever in our history. And we were trying to position us on the mobile space and where we can win the fight against the big brands, you know. Mm. And there was like the 5v5, PvE, PvP, you know, this kind of the genre. And we were more like the, you know, we were afraid of the 5v5 because, you know, there was rumors that the big games are coming. There was a lot of rumors that Destiny is coming, for example, or Apex Legends, you know, Battlefield, all these like the big brands, which like the they have a really big advantage compared to you. And they have a lot of better attention because people are more survive everything because it's just a big brand, you know?
Yeah.
And because we failed with the Shadowgun War Games, which was 5v5, we were not confident to do like the pure multiplayer game because it's not so easy. It's not just about the shooting and network code. It's about the balancing, how we are using the things. And we still didn't crack why it didn't work, you know, why, for example, Valorant is working. And we found out later, but, you know, at the time, we just were not balls, you know, to try it again. And there was like the Battle Royale stuff, which was already on the peak. So it was visible that it will fall down, like the you know, it will just became the, like the old. And we were moving more to the PvE, PvP stuff, you know, something like what we did with the Shadowgun Legends. But we wanted to do it a little bit differently. We want to do it more hardcore-ish because we saw like the space. And we were still thinking about the mobile. But when we make the first concept, which is a little bit, you know, it's like the 50% different what it was on the, what is now. Then we realized that, you know, at, before that, we also, you know, I push everybody in the company, mostly the designers, to read every book about the design and read the and play the games. You know, we select like the bambillions of the games and just play them, you know, for the few months.
Yeah.
And of course, one of the game was Tarkov or this kind of the hardcore-ish games. And we were thinking like the more about like the, you know, doing the hardcore stuff, like the tactical stuff and mix it with the PvE thing. And we also know that a lot of people were complaining about the multiplayer in or PvP in the Tarkov. So, and a lot of people were like the saying, hey, I want to play the single player, you know, I want to like to do only PvE. And so we were thinking, hey, there is like the, you know, some market. And the other market research was that, okay, so then we moved to the, you know, because we're starting to moving to the Tarkov stuff. And then the UI is very complicated, you know, it's very hard to do it on the mobile. And so then we said like, okay, the concept it sounds great, you know, but it's not possible to read. To do it on the mobile screen, so let's move, you know, let's like the market is already screwed on the mobile, you know, there is a lot of user acquisition KPIs, it's not like the, about the games anymore, it's mostly about the monetization and retention. So we said like, okay, go away. And then the start, you know, I wanted to say something different, but
you know. Feel free, by all means. You can say whatever.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if there is like the, some kind of the young guys, you know, and
we're definitely not G-rated.
No.
Okay. So we move like to the PC, and then the things start to like the be more and more how to say, like the starting to be more like the complicated, or we're trying to start to make the more sophisticated game. It's like the, you know, when we look at the market on the PC and we found all this stuff which happening on the market with the AAA studios, like the killing their brands, you know, the Call of Duty, the cats, you know, the Battlefield, like their new version, completely like the different. Everybody wants Battlefield 3 and they are creating something completely different. There was Rainbow Six Siege, you know, they also changed it, you know, this was about the big guys, like the badasses, you know, now you have this kind of the, I cannot say like the weird characters, but like the different characters this genre, you know. So a lot of people are abandoning this space, and they are basically became the upset, you know.
Yeah.
So we said like, okay, so the big companies abandoning this space, you know, these hardcore guys who wants like the more mature games play as the big asses, you know, and then like the, then let's go for it, you know.
Yeah.
So we make like the how many copies was sold by the, for example, different games. And we said, okay, that's good space for us. We also found that mostly the indie studios are trying to make the tactical games, you know, that like the AAA guys doesn't have the balls again, you know, it's like the, we know like the, they are trying to make the DMZ and these kind of things, but we were 100% sure that they didn't understand why people playing Tarkov, you know, or if they understand it, they will never be able to put it exactly same like the in the Call of Duty, because they care about bambillions of the players, you know, then, you know, they are not, they cannot behave like Nikita, for example, you know. So we know that there is like the really small competition from the, or little competition from the big guys.
Yeah.
And we were thinking a little bit, I don't know how to say it, like arrogantly, that we can be better than most indie guys, you know, like the, these kind of the free guys making the tactical games and whatever. So we move like the, there, and we also switched to the Unreal. You know, on the beginning, there was not big map, like the 42 square kilometers. We were afraid of it.
Interesting.
You know? There was several small maps, you know, which you basically travel around, you know. So because we didn't, we were afraid that we will not be able to run 42 square kilometers in the jungle, you know?
Yeah.
And, but it's like the slowly change, you know, it's like the people were scared, you know, then we get like the really good guys who create, who were working on the Terran editor for decades, you know, and they, you know, they were working on some game in the Hangar 13, they killed their game. And they, of course, became a little bit upset, and it just said, you know, at the time, you know. So I asked him, hey, maybe we can do something together, like the VR really wants to push. And, yeah, they just make this stuff for us. So,
That's awesome to hear. It's cool to see, because I, from a gamer's perspective, have thought a lot of those same things, where, like, the kind of vacuum hole in the market has went. Where, like, I've played some survival games, I've played some Milsim games, I've obviously played a lot of Tarkov, and you don't see a whole lot of people doing it, or at least under... It's so funny to hear you say that Call of Duty didn't understand why people play Tarkov, and that's why DMZ failed, because I've said that so many times, where I'm like, DMZ was fun, but you could tell that they don't understand why people want this type of game. So to hear you say that, it's just so funny, because I've come to so many of those realizations from the gamer perspective of like wanting something else in this genre from people who kind of understand why we play these games. And I think most gamers would agree with the sentiment of these big AAA brands wanting to make billion-dollar games, and they're stuck in franchises that they've been in, you know, Battlefield, Call of Duty. They've been in these franchises for so long and they don't know what they want to do with them. They want to sell a lot of copies, but then they want to try something new, but it all has to kind of be in the brand. And so I think you guys were afforded that flexibility of coming with something new and fresh, and nobody has expectations of what it's supposed to be. That's what gets me excited for sure.
I think I understand, like, these big guys, you know, it's not so easy, like, to make some kind of the very hardcore games when the development costs like the hundreds of the millions, you know, you are risking a lot. And what I don't understand is, like, why they are killing their brands, you know, why they are not, like, making the new game, you know, why they are not creating the new game, why they are using the Ghost Recon stuff for the, like, the something which is not related to the Ghost Recon, you know?
Yeah.
So, but maybe the people think that it's, like, good to use this brand, and it's actually opposite, you know? So,
yeah. I assume that the big AAA dev companies are probably, like, every big software company that I ever worked for, which was a bunch of people way high up at the top. Yeah. So disconnected from everything. They're the ones signing the checks, and you know, they just don't, I don't know.
It's like I think in the game dev, the most, at least what I hate, like, when the people are like the complaining about the management, because most management are ex-devs, right? They rise up, you know, not so many.
You get promoted out of being a developer into being a manager.
So they make, like, the good games, they move up, and now they are, like, the bitching about them, like, that they are, like, the no gamers, but they are actually, I think, the gamers. But I think it's about the responsibility and, like, the big accountability that you just cannot afford it, you know?
Yeah.
So you talked, you've talked a bunch about PvE being a focus and how important PvE is going to be for the game. It seems to me to be a really big challenge how you can make this genre work with PvP, right? Because on one hand, you want the PvE interactions to be skill-based. On the other hand, you don't want it to be so easy that there's no threat, there's no, you know, anything like that. So it seems to me like you need to find a balance between how often you fight and win against AI versus how often you just get one tapped, and you know what I mean? So is that, like, how do you look at designing AI and fighting AI philosophically?
I think it's like the Dark Souls, you know? It's like the, you know, what, it's like the, when you are really skilled and you have, like, the even the good items and good skills in the Dark Souls, you can do pretty nice dancing around them, but you make the one mistake and you are dead, you know?
Yeah.
You just lost everything. I think this will happen in our game, you know? It's like because you can one-tap the guys, you know? So if you are careful and you see them first, it can sound really easy. But if you will make the mistake, you will be just one-tapped, you know? And, or died, you know? Or you will, alarm the other guys, you know, or maybe you go attract the PvP guy, you know. There is like the, it's not in our hands to somehow balance it, you know, because this is one tap, you know, and a lot of things is, we don't have the dice rolls that like the, hey, one tap him or not, you know, or like he's playing five hearts, so let's one tap him, you know? So it's like, the, or he died five times, so don't one tap him. You know? So,
that would be, that like would be a great feature.
It's like the, in the reality, you know, it's like the shit happens, you know, sometimes.
For sure.
It's like the, we saw it like the Marek Mundlo, you know, the designer who played the games, he saw like the sharp eyes that he see the enemy where I don't see anything, you know, and he just one tap them. I think he's cheating, you know, it's like the, he's so crazy. And this was like the why the trailer became the boring, you know, because he was just one tapping them like the from the 50 meters, you know. I see like the man don't shoot immediately, like the wait a little bit. But he's also a little bit afraid to die, so he just one tap them on the big distance. So I really don't know, you know. I should not say it like the that I don't know what happened. I think like the I know what will happen.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure. You know, it's like the we make different system for the aiming for the AI. You know, than like the in the normal games. In the normal games, you aiming on the exact point, and this means that like the it's very hard to make the bad aiming, because the dot is like the it's just the point, right? And it's the point is same like the if you are 5 meters or 100 meters. It's so we make something different. We make like the that they are trying to aim at you, and they are selecting based on the skills, based on the some other stuff, some point around you, and then the point is coming like the to you. And when they are shooting, it's moving up, you know. When they are like the moving, it's moving up, you know, whatever. But they are also shooting from the gun, you know. They don't have the direction like in the other games. In the past, we have always firing direction, which we try to rotate. Now it's handled by the animation. So I'm waiting until they aim at you, at least to some distance. And then I press the trigger, you know, and then something happens, you know. So sometimes they are shooting around you. Sometimes they hit you. It's really like the randomize, you know, and
that's cool.
It's like in the life, you know, it's like they sometimes cannot hit you. They even have like the, when they are injured, they have like the, some kind of the stuff that they are not able to aim like the, to you. And we just need to balance it.
Yeah.
You know? So I think like you mentioned Dark Souls, and I think the one of the most significant aspects of games like Dark Souls or other games that I think are like truly skill based. Another example is I don't know if you ever saw or played Mordhau, that game is a game where if someone is 20% better than you, you can't win. You can't accidentally win. In a shooter, you could get lucky with a headshot, right?
Yeah.
So the AI in Dark Souls, right? There's like patterns, there's rules, there's timings. People have the ability to learn how they telegraph their attacks, so you can get better at knowing how to respond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that even a thing? I don't even know how you could put anything like that into a shooter. Is that something that you think about? Or, you know, like, for example, they would yell before, you know, before they shoot or something like that, right?
Yeah, they start to bitch, you know, when they see you. So they like the start to like the saying something, and you have probably 1 second. I think, you know, we have this kind of the emotion system. So when they see you, the emotions for the aggressiveness is going up based on like the, if you are looking at him, if you already shoot or whatever, it's still not like the taking the distance, because they are reacting same if they see you from the 5 meters or 100 meters. So I want to implement some kind of the surprise. So when you meet together, like the immediately, they will immediately shoot. You know, the perfection.
Yeah.
this is why they now like they can kill anybody faster if they are quick enough, because when they see you, they have around the 1 second until they start to shoot. So we need to fix it. And but like the, when the fight is starting, it's like there is not like the, how they call it in the Dark Souls, the these first frames.
The iframes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where they're basically like, are you talking about like when you roll, you're invincible for a window? Or?
No. Like the, it's like the special word for it. I just forget about it. It's like the, when they are starting to attack, so you have some time to basically react, you know?
Yeah, like
they telegraph?
Yeah.
Like you see that they're about to swing versus this swing, like basically the animation hint telling you what's about to happen, or?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly, you know. But this is, you know, of course, if you will see that he's taking the grenade, you have like some time to do it. But with the trigger, there is not possible to do it, you know. So
for sure. Before we move on, I do want to take a quick second and thank the sponsor for this episode, and that is BetterHelp. We've worked with BetterHelp for a while now. BetterHelp is an online platform where you can get access to counseling or therapy, no matter what you need that for. If there's a legitimate like crises or something going on in your life, or all the way on the other spectrum, if you just feel like you're not getting what you want out of life right now, or extracting as much value or as proficient or as you want to be, no matter where you are on that spectrum, having somebody that's available to talk to that is sole intention is to help you and guide you can be an incredibly invaluable thing.
Bro, a couple of days ago, was driving to a family thing, and just being in the car with my wife, blasting some old school tunes and singing, and just laughing and having fun was something that I felt like I hadn't experienced in like a year, because for a long time I was just down in the dumps dealing with my own mental health issues, and honestly, I could not have gotten to where I am now.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for BetterHelp, getting therapy, genuinely changed my life. And it's crazy to think that smiling and laughing and in a real core like, wow, today I'm carefree, the sun's out, things feel good.
Yep.
After being in a dark place is crazy. And that's, there's nothing more important than in life
for
than
sure.
your mental health.
For sure. 100%. And so, it's just invaluable to have somebody who's there to just listen. And we've talked about this so many times, like the walls come down when you just know that it's not like somebody you feel like you have to justify a thought or justify a feeling to, you know what I mean? That is what they're there for, to like be that unfiltered thing. And so many times just by speaking the things you feel, you already can kind of see it. And then having somebody to talk to and work through it, alternative opinions, like that stuff is truly invaluable. And BetterHelp makes it easy. It being an online platform is like, this is one of those things I always say feels like it was perfect for that. It doesn't like we're trying to force it that way. It feels like it makes the whole experience better. Scheduling appointments, rescheduling appointments, you can get a therapist. And then if you just don't feel like you're connecting with that person and you're spending your money and you really want to feel that connection, it's super easy. You don't have to call and leave a message. It's super easy to just select a different one. Find that person. You can communicate, write notes, you know, take notes on what, you know, something came up and you want to talk to them about it. You don't want to forget. It just feels like it was made for that. So you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/podcast today to get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcast. Thank you so much to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. And I think that like from a 10,000 foot view, like more philosophically, you know, what Dark Souls does really well, because obviously it's good as inspiration, but it's not a shooter, kind of like you were saying, so it's very different. But I think that concept of what's great about games like Dark Souls is that like if you die, there's almost always something to learn from that encounter. Always. Where you're like,
and it was probably your fault.
Yeah, I didn't know he was going to do that, or you're like learning your enemy, or you know what I mean? I made a mistake. Like you said, I make one mistake and that mistake. And so I think that as kind of like the ethos is a really good place to be, because I think that's what in games, in some of the hardcore games I've played, you know, obviously I've played a lot of Tarkov, but even in, you know, Marauders or a Cycle or some of these other games that I've tried to do this, dying, but especially in Tarkov, when you die and you feel like you knew what you did and you messed up, that's a better feeling to be like, I need to try that again. It's better than, you know, if an AI just spawned right in front of you and killed you. And you're like, there's just like, that feels bad because, you know, you lost your gear, you lost whatever, but there wasn't even any knowledge to gain. It was like that was so far out of my control. So I think obviously, you know, Dark Souls and Gray Zone are going to be so different because they're shooters and there'll be challenges when you're talking about like bullets and triggers and they fly real fast. But I think that concept of like creating experiences where you are, they're hardcore and they're brutal. And if you mess up, you will pay the price. But, you know, there's an element of like learning your enemy, learning the factions. I know you've talked, I know from the gameplay, we've only kind of seen the one faction, but you guys have talked a little bit about like the enemies will scale up. Some of them will have better equipment. They might be harder to fight. You might need to learn how they react to situations and kind of stuff like that.
That's true. Like the, from the designer point of view, you just don't want to that the players are like the blaming the game, you know, or designer for it.
Yeah.
They should blame themselves, you know, so they are learning. I think the games are also like a lot about the learning, you know, you understand the rules, you learn it, then you enjoy it, you know, that you get the new challenges, you learn it, you know, and you just continue with it. So this is like the, this is how it should be, you know, and, you know, our game is, it's same like the, from the Call of Duty, when you are playing the, this kind of the PvP, it's very hard to like to learn something, you know, because you always die from somebody, you know, and, but our game is also like the very slow, you know, it's like the very tactical. So I think it's like the, if you make the mistake, you make the mistakes. You didn't see him like the first time, you know, you didn't expect him, you know, or you just jump over the wall and he was there, you know, he killed you, you should do it, you know. So, yeah, there is definitely not like the, you know, I was talking about the Dark Souls mostly about the player experience, like the, you know, he thinks that he's like the really good, you know, he's enjoying, and then the Dark Souls slap you and you die, you know. So it's same like the in the Tarkov. I hate like the when I die or died, you know, I'm not playing the Tarkov anymore, but when I died because the greed, you know,
this
was the most painful, like the stuff, you know, because like the, I was always saying like, hey, don't go there, don't go there. And then
I should have left.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know,
so.
For sure.
Well, so that's, it's kind of interesting. So one of the things that in my short time playing Gray Zone, the most significant thing to me was the experience of dying. It's completely different for one major reason, right? In Tarkov, especially if you're playing with a group, in Tarkov, you die, and that's like the equivalent of you have been disqualified from the game, go sit in timeout and watch your friends have fun while you do nothing, right? So it's like a deflation when you die.
Yeah.
In Gray Zone, because it's a server instance, you know, similar to like the DayZ kind of thing, you're back at the FOB and you die and it's almost an elevation. Like now you have like the adrenaline of like, I got to get back there. I got to get back there. You know what I mean? So how much of that there, I've seen people who have said, oh, they need to remove that from the game. Now I personally disagree, but I would love to know what your philosophy is on being able to basically get back to where you died in whatever way and interact with that.
I think it's like the massive multiplayer online. It's like the past one, you know, when you die and you reborn on the graveyard and going back to the like the your body, you know. So I think it's better. We also make some changes in the coma, because in the past, like the or past like the, it's 2 weeks, I think. it's like the, you know, a lot of stuff is changing a lot. When the lungs and the livers were destroyed, you die. We change it that you enter the coma, you know, so there is like a bigger chance to be in the coma and the other guys can take you like the up, you know, so it will be more like the more cooperative, or like the you will don't die like the extremely like the, a lot, you know, because this is what we wanted, to not like in the Tarkov, you know, just go away, you know, you just die.
Yeah.
But I want to have this kind of the medic stuff. I really love the videos in the past in the streaming, when in the squads, you know, when the people were dying and they grabbed them, you know, and like to move them like behind the corner and work on them, you know, it was like the like in the real life, you know. So this is what we want, to have this kind of the experience. You deciding like the, if you continue in the fight, if you first like the eliminate threat, you know, or you just like the take care about your friend, you know, and you are risking that you will die. So this is what we want. And I also don't agree that we should like to throw people up, you know. It's just because people think about the extractions too much. This is not extraction, you know. This is not Tarkov. This is more like the multiplayer online game or a multiplayer game where we are just living and playing the session and you are just there, you know. It's different concept.
Yeah, I agree. And I am excited for that. You know, I haven't played it yet, but that, you know, when Veritas was talking about that complete, you know, switch up of dying isn't the end of your experience. You know, it's not just immediately over, but the ability to react to it. Because I think I understand some of the criticism of people who don't want basically a battle that never ends, where like if there's 4v4 in a PvP fight and they kill me and while the fight's still going on, I come back and I kill a guy and he comes back and it's like, and it's forever. And I understand that. But I think that there's a lot of interesting experiences, and because of how big the map is, you know, getting back to any particular fight, depending on where it is, might actually take a while. And it kind of opens up the ability to almost like react to the world and the map a little bit. Maybe you try and cut them off on their way back to the fob with all the loot or something like that. Maybe you don't just keep, you know, running your head through the wall going back to that one fight. Maybe you switch it up and go to a different area, or maybe you messed up and you alerted too many AI and the whole battle is just lost and you abandon it. Like, I just like the thought of having those options of being able to continue your play session however you want. Maybe you don't want to go back because you didn't really have any loot on you and it doesn't matter, but just the feeling that it's not always just a deflated balloon where every time you die, you're just like, okay, I'm done. I have to go completely restart. I think is going to provide some cool experience. At least I hope. I'm excited for that to create some unique experiences.
Go ahead.
Sorry. You know, I read like the some kind of the comment that people will like the respawn and move back and the fight will be never ending. I don't think it's like the true, because you respawn, even if you are like the running naked, you have to call the heli and you probably don't fight in the first city, you know, you fight somewhere there. So it will take several minutes, you know, to heli arrive and fly with the heli. And then you have to run somewhere and the fight is like the probably somewhere where you have to go around the AI, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not like easy to just like the respawn, like in the battlefield, for example, you know.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Yeah, you're basically fighting, you know, you have to get re-geared up, right, and fight your way back potentially to your, you know, your friends. It's just a completely different experience because you're playing the game the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like the epitome of the opposite of all the things that frustrate me about Tarkov. Is I feel like so many of the aspects of the design, intentional and unintentional, don't respect your time. You spend so much time in menus and not actually playing the game, whereas this is like almost the entirety of it you're spent playing the game. And what you just described too about the whole down state, every in this game, in Tarkov, anytime I always hear about like the down state, I always kind of roll my eyes until just 5 minutes ago where I realized like it's another experience where you're still actively there, especially now you could do the whole like DayZ thing where it's like black screen, you're unconscious. Now that could work, although I kind of would love if like you open your eyes and it's blurry and you hear muffled noises and then it closes, you know, like you're still experiencing kind of like partially what's going on. But then also, you know, that gives the people you're playing with the opportunity to say like, do we go? The risk reward there is like, it's going to take him 6 minutes to get geared up and get back here. Do we want to risk dying to save 6 minutes? Maybe, potentially, right? You might be like, please save me. I've got something, please. You know what I mean? So like, that's such an interesting
push
and pull.
Yep.
It's like the, you know, that was one thing. It's like the big player accountability. It's like the, accountability, agency.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's like the, they can decide it like the, what they want. There is no like the rules or like the very limited rules. And it should create a lot of possibilities, you know, a lot of decision makings, you know, a lot of experience different, you know. So it's like the, you can decide it like, the, hey, I'm going restock, or like the, they already win the fight, so I'm going back to the like the body and take everything. Or everybody die because they are waiting for you or whatever, you know. So
yeah,
or they can like the throw the stuff away. You know, we were thinking about the like the insurance, but then we drop it. So you know, they can even take the stuff from your body and return back, and you will just wait them in the base. You know? So it's,
So now all that being said, I'd love to hear the core. So games like this, these kind of like hardcore tactical shooter games, it all hinges on death actually feeling meaningful, right? Because if we have unlimited stuff back in our stash and, you know, just it, then it doesn't matter because it's like, okay, whatever, I'll just go back or whatever. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. You know, I don't want to ask questions that you can't answer, but on like death, what it's supposed to feel like, and by and kind of connected to that, what like loot and looting is supposed to feel like. Because obviously there's two ends of the spectrum. If I have absolutely nothing and every time I find one gun, I die, the game is so hard and I never have anything that I don't want to play. And on the other end of the spectrum, if I have a stash full of 500 guns and armors and unlimited ammo, then when I die, it doesn't feel hard. It doesn't matter. So,
and there's no reason to go back.
There's no reason to go back. So like, what's your kind of vision for like where Greyzone falls on that spectrum of, you know, I need to be able to, I need to want to go out into this world so that I can actually find loot and get stuff. So loot can't be too easy to acquire, but it can't be too difficult. Like, how do you feel, what do you want that to be, looting and the price of dying with something maybe that's really good that you've just got?
I think the, you know, we are trying to balance the game somehow, but I'm 100% sure that it will be unbalanced, you know, in this way, in the first early access. We just don't have the data. We need to wait for the players to play and see what they can achieve. The second thing is that we don't have the weapon boxes, you know. We don't have like the another like the containers, so like the in the stash. So the stash is still limited. We have only the wallet, we have the key ring, and med kit, you know, so you can put the med stuff and it's like the smaller. So it's like the limited. You cannot have bumbillions of the guns in the stash. The thing is that it's also about the time. You know, if you die, you have to call the heli. You know, you have to run by the heli or fly by the heli. You know, you have to go to like the finish the quest. So it's not only about losing the stuff, but it's also losing the time, you know, which you already invest. So it's like the, another thing. This is what you don't have in the Tarkov, right? It's like the you just pick up and press the button and you are back in the game.
Yeah.
So maybe it will take a little bit longer to get like the back, exactly, you know, to finish the quest. And of course, it's about the ego, you know. So if somebody wants to like the play the game, like the running with the hatchet, you know, and do some stuff and just dying and dying, it's like the okay, whatever. It's like the your choice, you know. It's like the whatever. If somebody wants to play it as we are expecting, that's great. You know, we will be happy. But there is no, you know, I am not like the, I'm different a lot. I think I'm different person than Nikita. You know, I am not punishing the people. I am not like the, if people are like the good, I am not immediately rising the secure container to the next 20 levels, you know? So it's like the, it's not like that, you know, we're creating the experience. We are not creating the frustration. And, I think the people should still enjoy the games, even if it's like the hardcore.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that everybody has like the big issues sometimes in the life. So why I should have them in the game, you know, why I should like work hard, you know, it's like the, when we were working on the trigger, we found like some specific behavior that the people start to work in our games, you know. So they are not playing the gameplays, which were fun, you know, based on the fun, but based on the how much money they get, you know.
Yeah.
So they were grinding stupid missions just because like the per minute, it was like the more like the money, you know. And this is why we wanted to change it to the in the Shadowgun Legends that we introduced the fame, you know. So it's like the, it was about something different, you know. It was about the money and whatever. And this should be same in our game. It's about like the experience. It's about like the how you are, what you are finding in the world. That every run is different because like the, there is a lot of aspects, you know. So it should be fun. And And if somebody wants to troll or do bad stuff, okay, whatever, you know.
Yeah. I like that perspective, you know what I mean? Because on one hand, you do kind of want to let the emergent gameplay. You want to create the world and let the players create the experiences. And sometimes that means somebody's trolling, but that can create a good experience when you finally kill them or whatever. Sometimes, you know, you're always going to have people that min-max everything and grind the money. But I like that perspective on, you know, people are always going to want to do that and min-max gear, but can there be other systems in the game that promote something else, like the fame, like, you know, promote engaging with the game outside of just grinding money, and that actually does add a benefit to the player, and people will want to do that too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's like, you know, our game is, you don't need to do anything. You can do, like, the just killing. You will receive the loot. You will still, like, get some experience. You will, like, the progress, but slowly. If you do stuff which we want, or we build the systems, like the quest, for example, then you will receive, like, you will progress faster, you know, you will have more fun. So it's not, I was so upset, like, you know, first vibe, I was looking why I don't have the quest on these US guys, you know, what's the name of
that? Peacekeeper.
Yeah. It's like I said, like, hey, this is only the guy which is not giving me quests, you know. And I was so upset. So I was digging, like, why not? And it was like I had to kill some PvP guys, like the player guys.
Oh, know? Yeah.
I was so upset, you know, because I didn't want to do PvP, and they just killed me, like, some kind of the game just because I didn't kill, like, the players, you know. Mm. And this is what I don't like, you know. It's like it's just, you know, or like this decision, like, you do good stuff, and you receive something, and you select the bad stuff, and you receive the unique helm, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, okay. It's like, you will always select the bad thing, you know, because you want this helmet, because you will never receive it. This is not like how they like to push you, you know? So
one of the challenging points with quests, I think, with Tarkov has historically been the wanting to give players enough information to be able to, like, solve a problem or figure out, like, locate something. Yeah. Where you want to give them hints, right? Well, at the same time, knowing that at some point there's going to be there probably already is, right? A gray zone wiki that tells you how to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with Tarkov is people don't even bother to even try to figure it out in the game. They go to the wiki and the wiki tells them. That's largely because the game doesn't. So I wonder, is that something that you think about in terms of, like, giving people quests and wanting to give them enough information so that they can achieve the things without giving them, you know, like, what about that balance there?
Mm-hmm. We changed the quests, like, the description a little bit. We start to use the coordinates from the map. So, like, mostly for the PMC quests. So, because we were thinking, like, hey, you know, it's like the PMC guys, you know, operator, he should have the more information, just like the somebody something, you know?
Yeah.
So we felt like it's not realistic. So we put, for example, the screens of the, like, they are looking for something, like, for the free building. So we put, like, the screenshots of the buildings. We also put the locations there, but this is like the big cell, you know, it's not like the exact location. We don't know if we will, at least for the first several quests, we are doing it. So it's like the more easy.
Yeah.
I think later we will just like to be more, or there will be less informations. I think it will still happen with the wiki. You know, it's like the people who want like the Insta informations, you know, or young guys or somebody who is in the hurry and has less time, he will just go there. We don't want to, you know, we were thinking about the random location for the quest items. But on the other hand, it's like the counterproductive because you want to learn, you know, if you are playing the second vibe, you want to feel that you already played the first one, you know, so you want to be like the faster. And this is how you feel like the better, you know, but if you make something, everything random, you will play the first vibe, same like the second vibe, like the first vibe, you know, there is no like kind of the, I learned something, you know, I know something. So it's very hard to balance it. I think, I hope that there will be wiki for the gray zone, you know, this sucks.
There will. That's... And I'm sure that there's also a balance too between, you know, like, it doesn't have to be entirely random, even if it was in a house, but it could be in 50 different places in a house under a bed. Like you actually feel like you're like, I know it's like, here and looking for it is so satisfying than just running to a place, picking up the thing and then leaving. Feeling like giving players the ability to feel like they've solved a riddle or a mystery or, you know, discovered something. If you give them the tools, it's really satisfying. If you don't, then you're just forcing them to go to the wiki.
Don't think it requires too much. Like, you know, and I think that's kind of where some of the Tarkov quest design, where it's like, go find this thing on customs. Like, that's way too little information for me to know. But with Greyzone, because the map's so big and you've got these cities, being able to be like, even just it's in this city with a building with this graffiti on it. At least
the guy drives a black car.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, like, and even just a little bit of that information. I feel like the natural state of a player is they want to stay in the game. So even just a little bit of information, I feel like most players will like, well, let me try and find it first before I have to go to the wiki. But in a game like Tarkov, where there's just no information, there's like not even a place to start. Well, then I just have to immediately go over there. So even just a little bit, I feel like people want to look a little bit.
You have to somehow balance, you know, in the mobile, when we put so many information inside. So everything was understandable.
Oh, yeah.
And the people were always, because the goal was like to keep them in the game. But there was no community. Because you didn't want to ask somebody for something, you know, because everything was in the game. So it's like the, if everything is like the so understandable and they are not living the game, there is no community. And when there is no community, there is no boost or something.
That's
so
true.
Or they are not watching you will lose the guys, you know, it's like the viewers, because why they will watch you, you know. It's like they are watching you because they are trying to find the information and how you play and how you get it, you know. So I think it should be. I think the Tarkov is very popular on the streaming because on the videos, because people learn from it.
Because people don't know what they're doing, so they come to ask questions.
No idea. Yeah.
That's actually a fair point, though. That's a fair point that the wiki and the general confusion create a community of people that ask each other questions. So that's a fair point.
Yeah, and the other interesting aspect of that too is that depending on where your perspective, where you're coming from, in Tarkov, Nikita wanted a challenge and he wanted like a puzzle, but didn't give information in a lot of the quests to solve it.
Yeah.
So then the solutions get put in the wiki, and then they don't like the idea that, oh, well, then you just go to the wiki to solve it. So then they have to make it random and even more complicated, so the wiki can't be the answer.
I
really like your perspective, because I hadn't thought about the whole that community aspect of this kind of mystery solving, figuring out, you know, information sharing, that kind of thing.
Before we move on, I want to take a quick second and thank the sponsor for this episode, and that is Babbel. Babbel is a language learning app which focuses on long-term retention and learning through conversation. About 1 in 5 people have on their bucket list learning another language, which includes myself. It's something that I've always just found fascinating, seeing somebody that I know is speaking a language that's not their native language. I've always just like, oh, it just feels so cool to do that. The best way to learn languages has always been like immersion. You've always heard people talk about like, go live in a place for 6 weeks or whatever, and you're going to get 80% of the way there. And obviously not everybody can do that. But if you're interested in learning another language, Babbel is really set up that way, with really conversational, immersive lessons that kind of try and give you that edge, but on your phone.
Dude, I've been super excited and motivated recently to mess with Babbel, because I've been binging this channel, Xiaoma NYC. I don't know if you've ever seen him.
I haven't.
He's just this normal looking little white guy that knows like a million different like versions of Chinese, and he's, I mean, Russian, German, I mean, he learns hundreds of languages, and then he goes around and talks to the people. He'll go to a Chinese restaurant
and just blow their minds
and speak their very specific like dialect that only like 1,000 people in the world speak. And what's clear to me it's insanely obvious how there are so many aspects of other cultures and people that like are instantly unlocked when you speak someone's language.
Yeah.
how much fun and respect and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh God, it's insane, and that's something that for I sure. would love to have access to, man.
For sure, and that really does make a lot of sense because so much is just like broken down there. Yeah, that's so cool, and there's something so impressive about that. Like so impressive about that. So Babbel is an awesome tool for that. They have quick, short lessons. So 10-minute lessons that are crafted by over 200 language experts. So the focus is really like bite-sized chunks. And then what's in those lessons is very conversational speaking. It almost like starts there as the tip of the spear. You can go as deep as you want with that language. But I feel like that's the most encouraging thing when you're learning. You know what I mean? Is to be able to hold a conversation gets you excited to then want to learn more. So it's really cool. Designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's convenient courses can help you learn real life conversation skills in a different language. It's easy how to order food, ask for directions, speak to like shopkeepers or whatever, or even consult with somebody if you're on vacation or something like that. I think that's like a really fun practical aspect if you're going somewhere, just doing that. And you get to have a little bit of that moment where you're on vacation.
They love it. Yeah. They all speak English. They just love it when
for
they're
sure.
like, oh, you.
For sure. So here's a special limited time deal for podcast listeners. You can get 55% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/podcast. Get 55% off at babbel.com/podcast, spelled BABBEL.com/podcast. Rules and restrictions may apply. Thank you so much to Babbel for sponsoring this episode. Now, you mentioned in that response where you were saying, like, you know, you want people to feel like they play and they learn, and then the next time there's a wipe, they feel like they learned. I actually don't know much about this, but like, can you talk about what wipes are going to look like, what progression is going to look like? Because I think sometimes that can be taken, you know, all the way to its logical conclusion, where if the game wipes, but everything is the same and I've learned everything, then it becomes boring because I can just like, in 2 weeks, I can go through everything because I've done it enough times. And now what do I do? Okay. So like, what are your thoughts on wipes?
Okay, so the wipes will be like the wipes, you know?
Yeah.
Everything is gone. You're starting again. We won't rotate the factions, you know? So if you play for the Mithras and you start on the bottom, then you're starting on the right, you know?
Yeah.
So we rotate the factions. So if you will want to play for the same faction, you're basically in the different different location. The quest and everything on the beginning is same, and but it's in the, a little bit like the different,
yeah.
You know. But because there is like it's early access, a lot of stuff will change.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah.
A lot of new buildings, you know, a lot of open buildings, a lot of new AIs, a lot of new quests, like
yeah.
The things will change. We will introduce the crafting and all these things, you know, skills. So there is like every vibe, you know, the first vibe should be, or second season should be about the day night, you know, it will be completely different.
Oh,
so
that's
so
cool, yeah.
You will just because it will change every few hours. And you have to really think about it. You know, you will have to put some kind of the night vision, you know, probably in the secure container because they will be expensive.
Yeah.
You have to like you know, it's not like that you are choosing the time, you know.
Yeah.
So you are prepared. You have to think about it. So it will change a lot, you know. Same like the weather will change a lot. Skills will change a lot. You know, they will add a lot of new quests. The crafting and all these things in your room, basically, because we don't have hideout, you know, PMC are not hiding. They have their own room in the container or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and this is like then we will open the main zone, you know, the ground zero. So it's like also, you know, a lot of things, then, you know, anomalies and a lot of like things around it, so you have to learn, you know, how they look, what they are doing to you. It's like I think for the few years we have every vibe will completely change the game. So
I didn't consider this, but the factions, I hadn't even thought about that. Like will how much eventually, because maybe early access might be hard at the beginning, but how much will your experience as the player change based on a faction you choose outside of what location on the map? Do they have different quest lines? Because I never thought about that, where it's like, if you want a wipe to be different, you could just choose a different faction and that might shape your experience differently as well.
I wanted on the beginning that like the everything is same in every faction, so it's like the, you know, people are not choosing, like they are not regretting of choosing the faction.
Yeah,
you know?
At the start. Yeah,
so, at the start, but so they have the same quest, same NPC, same like the shops, whatever. But the guys are pushing on me that we should change it and we make like the we should make the free games basically inside.
Yeah, yeah.
We will have a lot of other systems. Maybe we will change it, introduce to every faction like the new or different NPCs, different quest lines. Yeah. You know, we will change them, and then you can play the game like the three times. And you know,
because I definitely understand that fear of not wanting it to just be, well, this faction's meta, so everybody picks that faction, and then like that's not fun. But I do think that there's something there where if it can be balanced, if the experience can be different enough. That introduces a ton of replayability because maybe I want this faction now, maybe I want to play this faction. So that's fascinating. I like that. I think that there's a lot of potential, and it makes a lot of sense what you're saying about, like, especially since it's early access, each wipe is going to be introducing features that'll really make it feel different.
Like somebody, there was like the one comment that even we don't have the clear vision, you know, we have the clear vision, you know,
yeah.
We have like the design for the like the next several years, but of course a lot of things will change and yeah. We don't have the, you know, we don't want to follow the design just because we make the design, you know, if the people will play differently or they will start to asking for different things. It's like the gray zone was like the on the beginning was mostly tactical shooter, but we never were thinking about the guys, for example, from the Ghost Recon, you know, when somebody like the start to comment it, hey, this looks like the Ghost Recon or what we want from Ghost Recon, you know.
Yeah,
I was like really surprised, you know, because I didn't see it like there, but they actually have the right, you know. So this is how we can change the game, you know, or like the people ask like the, hey, PvE only, you know, we were never thinking about it because the, for me, the complete experience is the PvE VP.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I want this spice there, but if a lot of people wants like the secure or care beer, you know, stuff, so like the way, why not, you know, it will not like the hurt anything. It's like the same like the when people are saying that the you should not have the same progress in the PvE like in the PvE VP.
Oh, yeah.
So seen, you know, I don't think it's like the problem because like the AI and everything is so tough that they will like the, you know, still have the hard times, you know. So yeah. But maybe I'm wrong, you know, and we will change it, you know. So it's like the it's I think it's life process. It's like the more like the life service where you are going somewhere, you know, the direction, and but things could change, you know. It will not change completely.
Yeah, of course. Know?
Like the if the people will ask like the hey, we want like the PvP maps because the combat is so fun, and if you want only PvP maps, maybe, you know, maybe we will just make them, you know, and then it will be pure extraction stuff in the game, you know. So it's like the a lot of things could happen.
Yeah, so on that same note, you have different perspectives, right, with the experience of the game. You have like the developers, you have your vision for what you want, and then like, you know, you guys playing the game internally, and then you have the people who stream the game or play it all the time, you know, like super seriously hardcore, and then you have the experience of like the more casual day-to-day players. Do you have like a strategy or a plan on how you'll stay in touch with those different groups and listen to them? Because I think
you mean like the
in this genre. Yeah.
You mean like the complaining from the players, like the guys making the game only for the influencers? <You know?
laughs> Something like that, for example.
Yeah. Okay. I think everything is feedback, you know? It doesn't matter like who did it. No, it matters, you know. It's of course like if somebody loved the Fortnite and he tried the game, like the our game, and he's like the complaining that it's like the too hard, we will don't make it like the Fortnite-ish, you know. He wants cats like the as the whatever helmet, you know, it will not be there. So but the normal feedback, I think it doesn't matter who said it. We want to like the evaluate if it's set in our vision. and just go for it. We want to improve this game. We don't want to shift it, you know, to something else. You know, it's like the, it's I don't know, you know, if we will have the several, you know, I don't know how to say it, like the, if there will be a lot of people who will want to and really scream that they want to change it to something different, I don't know, like the, what we will do. I hope not, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the, I hope that everybody will help us to make this vision like the better, you know, not change it based on their personality. So like the, for example, with you guys, I think it's like the, it's about like the, hey, the combat is bad, combat is like the good, you know, it's not feeling good, you know, it's like the, you should change this, that, but not like the, hey, you should change it to the extraction shooter, because yeah, like the, this is people want, people don't change it, you know. Yeah, there should be other guys who is doing it. We have the different vision. So yeah, it's like the, it's like the thing is that a lot of stuff is around the real data. It's very hard to like the balance it, because yeah, there is real data, you know. So we cannot make like the AK less powerful. It's like it's same. It's based on the real data. We can tweak a little bit like the cavities or whatever, but there is like the very small like the chance, you know. We can tweak a little bit animations, but
yeah,
this is what we didn't do. Like the, you know, like the saying like the AK should have the 2.5 seconds for the reload, and the AR-15 should have 2. Whatever, you know. We just like the, ask the guy like the, to make like the animations, and we just make that, you know. It's like the, and this is how we can do it, and like the, how we can do it in real life, and this is what is it. So it's like the, I'm pretty happy with it, because yeah, like the, we need to like the tweak some numbers and like the think about it. It's like the we're trying to really like the, you know, to get the info about the cavities, for example, and try to put them inside the game. What we can tweak is the values, you know. We yeah, try to use the initial values from the real life, you know.
Yeah,
so it's the cost is same, because the, I think the real life is already balanced for us. So maybe it works, you know.
Yeah,
but we don't know. It's like the, how many stuff, you know, there will be a lot of like the exploiting things, that something is like the more valuable and it's selling like the more, and we make the mistakes and it's like the respawning faster, or it's like the more easy to get because there is less enemies. So this is what we will tweak.
Yeah,
the thing is that I want like the thing is that what we want to work with the people is about like the, their experience, emotions, you know, what yeah, they feel. The goal is like that they really experience good combat and like the great times, and like the how to say it, like the, that something they will like the recall in the past, you know, in the future, you know. Yeah, it's like the, this is what we want. It's like the you know, there could be some features like the, okay, missing the hold breath, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or hold breath is too long because it's like the, then too easy, so we can tweak it if the people will like to say it, you know, of course. Yeah. But if somebody will say it, no. If you will say it only, for example, the Veritas, yeah, okay, is complaining about everything, so yeah, whatever, you know.
No, I definitely think that, like, that's a tough challenge for you guys, because I think, you know, we live in a weird spot where, you know, everybody wants, like, open development, game developers that are open to feedback, which you guys have already shown that you are, which is great, but there's a limit to that, right? Kind of like what you're saying. We don't want to turn this game into a battle royale just because some people on Reddit said so. But when you have a lot of people playing your game, the feedback that comes up might help you make micro adjustments that you maybe weren't thinking. And yep, finding that balance can be hard, because if we say we're open to feedback, we'll change what you want to change, then people almost feel this ownership. Well, it's like, well, I want you to change this, so you should change it. It's like, well, that's not always how it works. And so that's definitely, you know, good luck with you guys interpreting all that feedback. But I do think that ultimately most people are excited about that attitude, that you guys are at least trying to have that, where you're like, we do have a vision, we do know what we want this game to be a few years from now, but at the same time, like you said, our priority is that you guys have fun, so we want to also be listening and make, you know, make those adjustments as we go. So I think that's valuable. I would love to hear your thoughts. Speaking of like feedback, I feel like the number one thing is always going to be PvP. You know what I mean? Balancing PvP, how much PvP, how little PvP. I'd love to hear because I know that you guys have made it clear. It's no secret that this is a PvEvP game, that the PvE is going to be the main threat. There's going to be more PvE on the map, and there's going to be a lot. But how do you guys see the PvP component? Are you guys going to will there be like map design catalysts where like maybe places like this have really good loot and that might be a natural progression? I always think of like DayZ, really big map. And you basically always knew you could get into PvP in the Northwest Airfield because that was where all the best loot was. So if you didn't want PvP and you avoided that, you could kind of go about your day and avoid PvP for the most part. And so is there, are you guys thinking like that too, where we can provide places where the people that want PvP can get it pretty consistently, but other places where you're probably less likely, maybe you're never completely safe, but there's a little bit of that kind of map flow to it.
We were, or we are focusing mostly on the PvE experience now, and with this PvP spice, you know.
Yeah.
And I think our main goal around the first year is build the main systems, you know.
Yeah.
And make the game stable, run fast, you know, put all the things together. We will have to fix a lot of things because people will complain. I hate like when the guys are adding new features and not fixing the old bugs and they are there forever, you know. So we didn't think too much about the PvP. I think it will not happen very often. It will maybe happen in some of the choke points where it's like the good loot, you know, as you said.
Yeah.
But I think the PvP guys will have to be very patient, you know. It's like it's good for the role playing for the some sniper, you know. He will take like a lot of coffee and he will just sit somewhere for the hour, you know, and then maybe he will kill somebody, you know. But
tower.
Because I don't think that the people will like the camp the landing zones, you know. There is a lot of landing zones, and like the maybe they will learn the patterns of the helis, you know. Maybe they will learn like the hitting, the shooting, and like the go there and try to like they are going to the D zone or that zone and wait for them and for the ambush.
Yeah,
which would be pretty cool, you know. It's like it's just the ambush. It's not like the camping. This is some kind of the social experiment, basically. You know,
fair.
And we want to focus like really on the PvE guys, you know,
The
guys who wants to don't play the Tarkov. It's not like the exchange the Tarkov, you know, and then like the move to the like the maybe better game or different game, whatever. When we were done with this, maybe we will implement the PvE only. You know, I was thinking, it's not leaking, but there is option like the maybe take the these kind of the areas of interest and make them like the small maps, you know, and like don't just put the PvP there, you know. There is all the options, you know, or maybe increase the players, you know, in the map, you know, and do it. So that's like the something in the future.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair answer that you guys know what you want, which is it to be a PvE focused game, and that especially in the beginning, your focus is on creating a stable experience. I think that's a really fair. I think people might hear that and go, oh, this isn't PvP, whatever, I don't want to play. And that's fair, like, because people, but like, I think you can't really, I think nobody can be too mad that your focus is creating a stable experience that works first. And then, you know what I mean? Because if you do, if you have a lot of PvP, but you're not working on a stable experience, the PvP player will just complain that the PvP isn't fun because it's not stable. So I think that's fair, and I think that you guys know what you want to do, and that's good for a lot of people to hear, because I think there are a lot of gamers out there that are just addicted to PvP. They just want to shoot everybody. You're on my team, I want to shoot you. You're on the other team, I want to shoot you. And that gray zone might not be that experience in the beginning, but I think that that's good to hear, that your priority at the beginning is just kind of like, yeah, almost like social experiment. What are people going to do? Where are they going to go? But is the experience working, and is it stable? Mm-hmm. I think that's good. I think that's fair.
We were always thinking about that we are building the sandbox, you know, It's like you just create a sandbox with some kind of the rules, and then you just like to let the people like to do their something. Mm-hmm. It's not like that we are thinking about the. It's not single player, you know. You are not creating the experience every few meters, and like he should jump, yeah. and like you know, whatever. And there should be AI, and after you kill the few AI, there should be treasure, you know. And then like again, you know. So it's like the. It's sandbox.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And we will just improve it, you know, make the more features there and like just let the play in the sandbox as they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't talk about PvP without the giant elephant in the FPS world, which is cheating.
Yeah.
that's a thing that like if I want to make a game, I'll probably make a game sometime in my life, but I've basically decided I'll never make a multiplayer game because it seems like an impossible thing to fight.
Yeah.
Tell us everything about
tell us everything. All of it.
Everything. To help the cheaters, right?
Yeah.
Hey, it's like we know it's like the pain in the ass, you know. And the thing is that then when there is rumors about the cheating, that every guy who killed you is cheater, right? So since the first day of the Counter-Strike, you know, it's like nobody thinks that he died because somebody was better, but because he was cheating, you know.
Yeah,
which is pretty bad experience, and this is what we don't want to, you know. It's like, of course, we move to the PvE because we're thinking that there will be less cheaters, you know, but we know that because it's a high stake game. It's like people will want to cheat or like this kind of gather the items for the people who are just wants to buy them. I don't remember how it's called now.
Oh yeah, RMT.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't want to let the people ruin your experience, you know, somehow. We have like we're trying to make, you know, it's like the more dedicated, like the client server, a client and dedicated server, like the architecture. We are trying to like the validate a lot of stuff. We are doing the things differently than for example some Unreal games. So for example, our bullets are really simulated on the server, you know. It's not like they are just validating hits on the client. This is what we did always, like since 2000. We're trying to, of course, if they can somehow cheat, but it should not be like the super crazy, you know. We cannot control everything on the server, you know. Yeah. If he will like the speed up animations or like he can like make more faster shooting, and because the luck, both like the bullets can arrive like the and one tick, for example, because server is ticking only 30 FPS, so you cannot like see the delays or whatever. He can like the sending some packets from the client. You have to trust it, and then where had to come like some other like the solution, you know. So like the machine learning, you know, which can find these kind of the things, you know, which can find like that you are using the macros or whatever. And or your behavior is like not humanish mostly, you know.
Yeah.
Or you have some kind of the pattern. I think the machine learning can work with the ESP, you know, radars, you know, because they know that you are following them. We are planning to have this kind of the thing. If you are following and like looking at the players who are behind the walls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we will mark him and just kick him out, you know. There is a lot of options how to do it. We don't want to be like I think the machine learning is the way to go. It's not like the creating super hardcore-ish, like the hardware-ish, firmware-ish, you know, whatever. It's like I think the machine learning can fight them, you know. And so we are trying. We are working with one group for one company, and we will see how it works, because it's like the unknown field, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it will not flag the good guys, you know, and then everybody will say like hey, whatever. And we have of course the easy anti-cheat, you know. So we hope that like the multiple solution will help us. And of course, there could be some reporting. We can like check the guy, like how he's progressing, and then maybe do something. So let's see.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I think the first few days it will be okay if you will, you know, we promise the influencers the early build, you know, like the before the release. Mm-hmm. So if you will don't leak it to the Fares guys or hacker guys, then there will not be cheats, you know, at least for 1 week, you know. So
you got to insert in, you know, self-destruct buttons for all of the. So if someone else gets it, you'll know that it was like the build you sent to me.
Yeah,
we will do watermark there, and then we will do a big chaos of it, you know.
Yeah.
And
how are you going to be? I don't know anything about how you guys are planning on doing servers. I know that that's something that has been in the conversation recently with Tarkov and cheating. If I could run my own server, I could moderate it. And the moment someone is remotely sketchy, I'm not banning them from the game. I can just ban them from my server and you can have like a community sort of server. Is that something you guys are planning on doing, or will you own all of the servers and manage them?
Not in the beginning. It's not like we don't have the resources. We would be happy to release the game without bugs, you know, and like optimize it. And there will be definitely missing this kind of the features. We would like to support these guys who are renting the servers, so you can rent our server on their machines. So we're offloading the cost a little bit. definitely we will support the custom servers, you know. So you can like the moderate it, have the community, people who play it, you know, there. And let's
huge.
See. What yeah. We even thinking about, I love the thing in the squad when you can, you know, I don't know, the guy who is streaming it, like the race, like the, he's commenting the fights in the
squad.
Yeah,
like the eye in the sky.
Yeah, this is so awesome, you know. That would be so cool in the gray zone that somebody can like make the videos, you know, and talk about it. Hey, guys are coming from the right side, you know, and there is this one. That would be so awesome, you know. So
having a free camera kind of thing is, I'm telling you, it's genius because it makes a million people want to make videos and content about your game. If the moment you can do like a nice panning shot over a town, it's infinitely more interesting than having to like free look up with your gun down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
It's something what we are planning, you know. It's like the on the mobile, when we wanted to move to the esport, we were always thinking about the like the influencers or like the why the people are like the why the esports are so successful.
Yeah.
And it's mostly about the viewers, you know. It's not actually about the game, how fun is for the players, but how fun is to watch it, you know. So we want to make some support for you guys and for everybody, so they can make like some nice videos and whatever, some exciting, not just somebody shooting and dying.
Yeah.
So let's see, but the time will come.
Of course, know? Yeah. And I think
people will miss... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, like all this kind of stuff, like we love having these conversations, but, you know, obviously... This is like later stuff. Like you guys have been, I just, for the people that are listening, I always like coming back to that like your guys, you know, at first you're just trying to put this out in early access and learn and grow and grow on the game. So, you know, we can't expect all this kind of stuff immediately, but it's cool to hear that like private servers like that are even on the table, even in your minds later down the road. Cause I think there have been some games like DayZ that has worked really well where, or even like Grand Theft Auto, a lot of the RP being able to kind of create communities of people that can help moderate and like tightly control that experience and maybe share some of that cost, then can kind of create some cool experiences. So that is really cool to hear for sure.
Yeah, and people will misunderstand too what you're saying, like, or what we're talking about. Like we're not talking about like making the game for content creators, but adding in features that content creators more often than not, you know, would predominantly use means more people interested, more people wanting to play more. Yeah. I mean, you're basically putting in a way for us to advertise your game, which means more purchases, which means more development, which means the game is better.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think, exactly. It's not like the, you know, the main focus, of course, on the players, you know, this game is about the players. It's not like the esport thing, you know, so it's not actually about the viewers, but, you know, we can make your life more easy. And you are, you know, we don't need to pay you like some big guy for something. So if I will have to pay you, I will never do it. You know, you will have to work on it. But like, we can like do this. So And it's not only about like the established influencers, you know, everybody can do it, you know, everybody can like the use it. So I think it's worth it's yeah, but of course the player first,
yeah,
the creator second, you know, so and us the first, you know,
that's a clip. So no, yeah, that's awesome. That's that's really cool to hear. I don't know, V, did you have any more?
Well, I know, the thing that everybody asks that I'm going to ask, knowing full well we're not going to get an answer, but they'll yell at me if I don't. Everyone wants to know when they can play.
Soon TM. You won't
like the Rick and others will kill me, you know?
Yeah, so I know we're not getting an answer, ask. But okay. They'll so kill me if I don't ask.
Okay, so we have the date, okay? We are still not sure if we will hit it. So the last thing what we want is to postpone it, you know? It's like there is still, I don't know, like the $400, like the from the P0 to the whatever, like the some numbers for the very, like the, you know, the visual only things.
Yeah.
We want to be sure that the game is very hard to test it. Because it's like so huge and we don't have 100 testers, you know, so it will be a little bit, you know, people should expect that it's early access, you know, it's like the early access, like the real early access. It's not like the early access after the 7 years, you know, and I think the content and the amount of the features which are already there is probably the one of the biggest early access ever, like the boss release, you know, and we want to be sure that the game is not crashing, you know, that the game is running well.
Yeah.
And this is the biggest focus, you know, it's like that we almost stop to adding the features, you know. I'm fighting with the last feature, which is really, I really hate it, you know, and this is the releasing the empty brass, like from the gun. Exactly same like the what you actually fired, you know, and then you have this kind of the bolt, so you have to like the exactly put it like the out, you know, and kick it out. Then you have to load another, you know, from the magazine, which is like the sound super cool in the normal FPS, but you can have the different ammo, they should look different, you know, with the different tips. So it's like this is what, you know, I hate this game sometimes, you know, which just like the push too much that. Like it's so complicated to make the stuff, and so this is one of the last feature. You know, we are focusing mostly now on the good communication when the shit happens. You know, you are disconnected, server crash, whatever. We are working on the some like the, I think the last feature is almost finished, and there is some missing things about the squads because our squads are working differently than every other squads. You can join to the leader to the different instance. You can receive the invite for the squad when you are playing in the different instance, you know, and whatever. So it's like the working differently. So this means like a lot of issues. We of course have to be sure that like your profile is properly safe, you know, but we cannot save it with every action because it will be just like the whatever.
Yeah,
we need to optimize the bandwidth because we are paying for the bandwidth, you know, we don't want to lose every money because the bytes, you know, and or megabytes. So it's like this is our main focus and we want to be sure because if the one crash is happening to us, it could happen 1,000 or 10,000 in the players, you know, depending on the success of the game. So we have to be really sure that everything what we can find, we killed, you know, or we fixed. So this is why I cannot announce it. I would be like the really happy. Like the really, you know, it's like the... I cannot say.
You only get one first impression.
And
part of that first impression is how the game feels to play and if it crashes and if it has bugs and whatever. And the other is if you're able to make good on your promises, which includes a release date. You know, if it's late and then late and then late and then late, people will lose confidence and whatever. So, like, I totally get it.
The other thing, like, that because this success we didn't experience or didn't expect, like, this stuff. You know, we like it's like it makes us like really scary, you know, like that the you guys are waiting for it, you know, that I'm afraid of it, you know. It's like you will start to play it and what they will say, you know. It's like now it's not under control, you know. They can do like the anything yeah. what they want. You know, the people who will start to streaming and it will crash in the real-time streaming, you know. It's like the, then there is like a lot of people waiting to buy it in the first day, so they will try to immediately jump on it, you know. Yeah. We don't know if we are prepared for the servers, you know. We don't know exactly how many concurrent players like they can play it, you know, or like they will play it. It's like there's some numbers with the Helldivers are fucking scary, you know, like the, how many people yeah. play it, you know, all Palm Diver, you know, it's like a Palm board. So it's like the, we really don't know what can happen now,
yeah.
you know, and if you will make the good job and you will love it, then like the okay, that's even the worst for us because there will be more people, you know, and then we need more servers, you know, we will just don't sleep, you know,
yeah,
and more crashes basically, you know, more crash reports, you know. So we want to be sure that everything is perfect. When we see the light on the end of the tunnel,
yeah,
it's basically mean that the we will get the less bug than we are fixing, so it's starting to going down,
yeah,
you know. And then we will see like the, hey, okay, yeah, we know that we can probably hit the day or not. You know?
That's fair. Like, and like I said, I don't think we expected a date from you. You know, we just had to ask. But I think that that's, I even think though that that response is really good for people to hear because it really is a weird spot for gaming where like you almost can't win. Because if you wait and you put out a game that works really well, you know, you have the Helldivers experience where like no indie developer could realistically expect that a million people want to play their game, but they made a good game and a million people want to play. And then that creates issues because now you have too many people that want to play. But if you put out a game that isn't good, nobody wants to play your game. And it's like such a weird, but the fact that you guys are even just considering the possibilities and trying to set yourself up for the best launch, you know, whatever that is, whether it's a small launch, a medium launch, a huge launch, whatever, I think it's good. I think the only thing worse than not having a release date is having a release date that never gets hit. And so I think you guys are doing the right thing, you know what I mean, by not saying anything as opposed to just saying something and then it moves and then saying it and then it moves and it's to erode that trust in the beginning before the game is even out. So it's it is fascinating to hear.
I think we somehow wrongly communicated it, you know. It's like the we were always thinking before, like the, around the Q1 and Q2, you know. But for some reason, we were communicating more like the publicly Q1, you know. And this is something like the what we like the screw a little bit. We also didn't expect like the that so many people will like the read every word, you know. So I will put something on the tweet and immediately from it is like the YouTube video, you know. This, this is actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like the, but I think it's like the still better than announce the game and then say like the, we will like the release it in the 3 years, you know. So it's like the, it's still, I think the since November. So it's like the 6 years or 6 months or 5 months, you know, something like this. So I think it's pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
People will forget about everything. If we will release the game and it will be good, people will forget about like the everything what we said before, you know, or what we screw, or that they ever have to wait or whatever. They will just be happy to play it. You know,
Seeing what happened with No Man's Sky is something worth learning from. And actually, you know what? I'll send you something that I actually put together for a video I never made about like the rise and fall of No Man's Sky, or sorry, the fall and rise, because now the game is fantastic and everybody loves it and it's a comeback story, whereas originally, right, it was this massive failure. And a huge part of that is communicating and how difficult it is to be in your position and communicate with the community and the media and have and be understood. But I think most people who watch this would describe you as based. I would at least say that, which is basically keep doing what you're doing, which is just being honest, down to earth, and like reasonable, and you'll probably do well.
Thank you. I agree. So I mean, I don't know, did you have any other questions or topics? We don't want to take too much of your time.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. You've already been very
generous. You just delayed the game by the 1.5 hours.
Yeah, we delayed the game by 1.5 hours. Well, we appreciate it. No, seriously, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. It means a lot to us and to the community to be able to kind of just like peek behind the curtain a little bit and get some questions answered. I think, we as the content creators, as the podcast, we know that we don't want to put you guys in a weird position. We're excited about the game. We ask questions. We don't want to create a situation where you answer a question and then you're held to this. Some Reddit post was like, on the podcast, he said that. We know it's a balance. And so we try our best to, kind of position that as well, that, it really is a favor to us that you came on and are willing to talk about the game. You're passionate about it. We kind of, represent a bunch of gamers that are also passionate about it and excited. So we really do thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. It's like always good to talk about the games. I love it, to talk.
Yeah.
It's like the second thing, First is like to work on it, but then like to talk about it.
Yeah.
And maybe we can do like another stuff after the release.
Yeah.
So, like the,
beautiful.
Maybe I will say like, hey guys, it's super great, or like, man, it was like full of the bullshit, sorry guys. So let's see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're welcome anytime to talk about anything. So thank you again.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Thank you for coming. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Cheers, guys.
See you
later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.